the messages on screen to wooden upgrade eventual navigation becomes available. This station will now stream on the
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast. Here are your hosts, Cam and Kobe.
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast, the only place for prepping, survival, and entertainment. We are your handsome hosts, Cameron and Kobe, and we are ready to bring survival goodness direct to your dirty little ear hole.
You think I'm handsome?
I'm lumping us together, so I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt on that one. All right.
Thanks.
How's it going?
It's Cameron? Going good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Mindless banner today, number 7.
I'm so excited about this
one.
This is
exciting. What are we doing today?
We're going to talk. Well, we have already talked to our listeners, and we asked them, hey, what questions you have?
Yeah.
Give them to us. So we've done this before, but we figured we'd fit it into this mindless banter.
Yeah.
So people have just shot out some questions for us, and we're going to answer them.
We're constantly getting questions via social media. I mean, many, many questions to the point where we can't answer them all.
I know.
And if you're asking these questions, I apologize, but like, we got shit to do, man.
Yeah.
Like, we can't sit there and answer questions. Like, we try as hard as we can.
Kobe does really good, and I tried to pop in and help, and I was like, geez, they won't stop.
They won't stop. So we just decided we're going to do this today because usually, you know, we're talking about some conspiracies or something like that, or we're talking about weird news stories. But today we're just doing
questions. You're going to get to know us a little better.
A little better. But guys,
maybe.
I can't tell you how excited I am about this right now.
Yeah, this is exciting.
Yeah, we have a brand new sponsor for the Mindless Banter podcast today, and it's somebody that we have actually
Just tell them. We've been telling you about them for quite some time.
Sawyer Products, you guys, brand new sponsor.
Oh, man.
Couldn't be more excited. I can't even tell you. Let me tell you a little bit about Sawyer Products is the U.S. leader in outdoor protection. From the backcountry to the backyard, Sawyer offers a line of top-rated insect repellents, water filters, sunscreens, and first aid products. I'll bet you didn't know they had all those things, did you, Cam?
I didn't.
With the rising prevalence of tick and other insect-borne illnesses, stay protected with Sawyer's line of family and gear-safe insect repellents, including their permethrin fabric treatment, which is 100% odorless after-drying insect repellent that repels and kills mosquitoes and ticks for 6 weeks or 6 washes. The treatment does not harm any fabrics or finishes and can be applied to clothing, gear, and a variety of other fabrics. That's really cool. That's good stuff.
It is.
But if you're in need of a water filtration device, Sawyer recently introduced a micro squeeze water filter, which is rated up to 100,000 gallons. Their full-size squeeze filter comes with a lifetime warranty. A lifetime warranty. You can't get better than that. Last year, over 4 million people got clean water through a Sawyer water filter. And we have been saying for years and years, get yourself a Sawyer Mini.
Lifetime warranty, huh?
Yeah. But guys, this is the really exciting part. If you go to SawyerSafeTravel.com, that is their site where you can buy their products, SawyerSafeTravel.com, and you use our code CPREP19. This is a little bit different than most of our codes, but CPREP19, you're going to get 20% off anything on their entire site.
That's a massive discount.
Dude.
And their stuff is not overly priced.
It is not.
Like, it is reasonably.
It's like very reasonable.
So you're going to get a screaming deal.
And it's like some of it has lifetime warranties, man.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So, I did a little mindless medical tip. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I think so.
It probably did sound mindless. But I talked about, remember the mosquitoes and insect repellents and all the diseases, those. They're like little flying Russian hookers.
That's exactly what they are.
They carry everything. So,
and they're bad.
You definitely want to have insect repellent. I had no idea.
And I've actually
awesome. Fabric treated. That's the best stuff.
I used some of this stuff actually this last fall on the hunt, and it was really good stuff. So, again, go to SawyerSafeTravel.com. Use our code CPREP19, and you're going to get 20% off.
Yeah, you really
freaking
are going to want to do
awesome.
That.
Freaking
It's really good.
So, thank you to our brand new sponsors, Sawyer Products. Go follow them.
Booyah.
So today, Q&A, guys. I'm pretty excited about this.
I am too.
So
good questions out here.
We got a bunch of questions.
Our answers probably not as good. But
No.
Great questions.
Absolutely not. We're going to screw all these up, but it's okay. The first one comes from Samuel_Crow. Okay? And this is from Instagram, I believe. And he says, how's prepping coming along for you guys? So that's a very
broad. It's good.
Broad question.
Yeah. That's a good question.
It is. It is a really good question. It's a very hard question to answer.
He obviously is a prepper because it. I think because
yeah,
that it is hard to explain and there are things that you run into, obstacles that you're like,
oh my gosh,
kind of like you said, well, you're going to say, but it's like you do, you get these lags in like motivation and oh, like,
I do. So
I think
bad.
I have enough. I don't have enough. I mm-hmm. don't want to inventory all that. You know, I'm yeah. just going to assume I have enough. And then you like get in this little frenzy. You're like, I'm going to go buy everything. And then
yeah,
it's hard to buy that stuff because mm-hmm. you're like, I may never use it.
Yeah.
You know, it sucks. I'm like, I probably spent $500 on food storage. And it's like, if I don't cycle it out, I probably will lose it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not exciting, but
no,
it's going to save
it's
my
It's not
butt.
Exciting, but it is really comforting
it's
to have.
It's very comforting.
So with us doing the podcast, I get in these cycles where we'll research for a subject that we're talking about, yep. right? Like pandemic or something like that. And I go, holy crap, I am so ill-prepared for this.
I know.
Right? And so right after Always. That, I'll be like, okay, I got to go buy this and I got to go buy this and I'll go do it. And I'm like, okay, I feel a little bit better now. And then I kind of slack off for a little while and then I come back to it. And
let your gas tank go below half.
Exactly, really.
Get turned get into a big dummy.
I looked at it today and my gas tank was below half. And I'm like, why am I not doing this?
I know.
So I
went, I stopped it's true. And got it's fuel. Hard to follow like
yeah.
all the advice.
So the hard thing is with prepping, you kind of have to make it a little bit of a lifestyle to make it really, really effective. Right. But if you're listening to this podcast and you're doing any of these things, you're miles ahead of everybody. Right.
The big thing is the reminder. You've got to be reminded.
Yes, it is. Yeah,
it's
a
like
big thing.
You forget. Oh crap! Yeah, I still don't have water.
Oh yeah, because there's like so
five
many,
years in.
Yeah, water's so hard, dude.
Water's way hard.
And I've made it a point, like on birthdays and stuff, like for parents and whoever. It's like,
give me your water.
Water. Bring me a bunch of water.
Hey, don't pour that water out.
You still got a half a bottle there. Bring it to me. Yeah. No, just ask for some of those things that I know that I'm not going to get off my butt and go do.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, usually you just get something stupid
Yeah, like
anyways.
Your dad gave you that big,
yeah.
was it a 55-gallon?
55-gallon water.
Oh,
and
man.
So, like, now
That's
I feel
perfect.
Better, right?
I'm like, I want that for my birthday.
I know.
I
did
told,
you ask him?
I did ask him. yeah. I told your dad I want that.
That's nice.
Me too.
Me too. I want that. Yeah, so prepping is coming along, but we're just like pretty much everybody else. I know there's probably people out there like, well, I'm perfect. I buy my stuff every week.
I know.
I'm drilling, you know, I'm running. I got 15 bug out bags and I got, you know, it's
good for you.
Yeah, good for you, butthole. We're like everybody else. It's hard to
You're
do.
No longer a casual prepper. Get out.
Yeah. You're too good. So yeah, I think we're just like everybody else, right?
Yeah, yeah. Ups and downs. Got to mm-hmm. keep reminded. Got to keep focus on. I got to add stuff. So
yeah,
I always try it when I'm like checking out at Lowe's or something. I've got mm-hmm. you know a bunch of wood, and I'm like, there's water right there. I should throw that in.
I know
because I need it anyway.
Yeah, but it's so hard. It really is.
Keep an eye peeled for those things. You
and
don't
and
have.
That's why things like you know survival boxes are nice because you just pay that 30 whatever bucks a month,
it
and
is
it comes.
Nice if you're just like.
You know?
Too distracted, too busy.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it the easy way.
Yeah.
Have them do it for you.
All right. We'll move on. You got any more on
yeah.
that one?
No. Nope. Okay. Nope. So the next question's from American Prepper Group, mm-hmm. and which is they've been awesome. They're always mm-hmm. commenting and keeping us busy.
Good guys.
Have you considered a call-in show? I think that would be fun. No.
No, I mean,
we haven't really talked much about a call-in.
I've thought about it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's logistically, it's not an easy thing to do.
It's hard to, it, like,
you know
we,
what I mean?
We, yeah, Kobe and I have talked about, even with guests and everything, the sound, the playoff from each other, mm-hmm. it all just, it kind of gets awkward sometimes. And
it is. It's difficult.
It doesn't flow as well as we'd
you
like.
You know what
so
I have considered
like,
doing, though, is kind of like a Google
a call-in?
A call-in show. You ever thought about that?
Hey, this is a good idea.
No, like a Google Hangout or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That we could probably do. If you guys are interested in that, maybe we could set that up one day. That'd be
yeah.
kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Did they get rid of Google Hangout?
I don't know.
Come on. Stay up with the times.
I don't know.
Even I know that.
Did they?
I think they,
oh,
I think
they
it
did.
Was getting.
But there's got to be other platforms you can do that, right?
Yeah.
I would think so.
No.
No.
Yeah, no. It would be cool to do something like that, though.
Yeah.
It'd be plenty to talk about.
Yes, I've considered it.
So it could be funny. Could be interesting and awkward.
Mm-hmm.
So
it definitely could get really
we could
awkward.
We've found the prepper community can pull in some real weirdos.
Yeah. Well, and we're not normal people ourselves, like but
What? It's like how New Girl, like Nick all the time, is like, you're a weird guy.
Yeah, that's how you feel about that's people.
You're like, oh my gosh, you're weird, but you want to talk to him.
Yeah, it's difficult. Let's just say that. It's very, very difficult sometimes.
Yeah.
And it, as weird as it sounds, Cam and I are slightly antisocial.
Yeah, we really are.
Like, we don't, like...
I don't know my neighborhood very well.
I legit have, like, no other friends.
Like, I know. We're kind of the, yep.
Like I sort of do.
I think that's why me and you, like, became friends. We're like, hey, we're kind of the same.
I hate people. You hate people? Let's do something together.
We hug.
We hug, and that's the last time we've touched.
But, yeah, my wife's always like, yeah, you know, Johnny down the street, her wife, his wife's in the hospital. Yeah. I'm like, who are they?
Yeah, I know. I'm the same exact
I'm
way.
Like, oh, gosh. I'm not involved with my community very
like, they're, like, two houses down.
Yeah,
like, I don't know who that is.
They literally take you to work every day. Yeah. You carpool with them.
Yeah, that's funny.
But yeah, so yeah, there's that. There's that's why we're antisocial. We don't want to do a talk call-in show. Okay.
Next, Carissa DeWitt. She says, "What are some of the challenges in hosting a podcast?" What are you laughing at?
Your first thing.
My first. Yeah,
which
just
is so true.
I put some notes in there. I was gonna maybe say this or not, but I just put it in there anyways.
Do it because so it's totally true.
My first note says keeping Cam focused.
It's true.
Sometimes he's a little
I'm not
bit
doing this.
He's a little bit scatterbrained once in a while.
I am. No, I legit think I have ADD.
Sometimes I'm like, are you here with me, Cameron? We're doing a podcast right now.
I'm almost positive I do, but I'm not treating it. I'm too good for medicine.
No, but honestly for me, that's kind of what makes it a little bit funny.
Yeah.
Is that it's we're not professionals in
so
anyway.
In my defense.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely.
Kobe's a little, he's much more organized, I think, than me. Mm. And he's better with the social medias, and he knows what needs to be done, and then he asked me to do it, and then I, like, all right, yep, I got to see patients, see ya.
That's funny.
Yeah. So his job's at least a little connected to the same. I feel like I disconnect, and then I don't get back on track. So, yeah, that's my challenge, is keeping Kobe off my back.
Yeah, that's
but,
a tough one.
But still letting him know that. I am trying. Yeah. I do like it. I love the podcast.
He's absolutely
I love doing
trying.
This.
He's trying, guys.
But I definitely could do better.
No, we all could do better.
There's a lot of speaking English clearly is a very hard thing for me.
It's hard for everybody. You don't realize how hard it is till you're on a mic and you're like, oh, crap, people
it's
are
weird.
Listening to me.
Yeah. It's like, I read out loud since elementary school.
I know.
Why can I all of a sudden can't read?
I had to go read to my kid's school this week, and I'm reading. I'm like, this is so hard.
It is
And it was
hard.
Like Dr.
So
Seuss.
Weird.
It was Dr. Seuss, so every like tongue twisters.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel stupid in front of these first graders.
When I read to my kids, sometimes Tanya will like stand out in the hall, and she's like.
And just laughing at you.
And messing it all up.
This guy's has a
Even
podcast.
Even Finn will laugh. Some My son will laugh because I'll like mess up a word. I'm like. There's one book that's like the rabbits, and they're called Robertsons, and I'm all Robertsons are all.
Yeah.
Anyway, English is tough.
Yeah, there's a lot of challenges with hosting a podcast. One of them is for us, for me anyways, is keeping interest like in the subjects all the time.
Right.
Keeping it
Finding
fresh.
New, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, because we listen to a lot of other prepper podcasts, but I always feel like it's like recycling the same content over and over and over because there's only so much you can talk about. So it feels hard to keep it fresh.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And so I think that's a very big challenge with this. And so if you have suggestions how to keep it fresh.
Keep it fresh.
Yeah.
But it is. It's challenging. If you've ever done a podcast, it's hard to, like, as you guys all know, we have regular jobs, so this is not our full-time gig.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, like, do both, you know. Mm-hmm. We try and do it through notes online and communicate when we get together, and that's not very often.
No.
We cross paths at, like, church and,
you know, like, oh, hey,
hey, do you want to go to lunch today? Okay.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah. Another challenge is actually getting people to listen, and that's it's a very big challenge, especially when you're starting out. But even now, it's like... trying to expand the listener base of the podcast is so hard.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I don't freaking know how to do it. And, you know, maybe it's because we're not good enough at what we're doing, but just to get people to keep listening and get new people in listening. Yeah. And so what you guys can do to help with that is just share us out, man, or review us.
Right, right.
Give us good reviews, not bad reviews. Good reviews. And tell your friends about us. You know, like us on all those things, because the more that we can
get only two people.
Yeah, we can only do so much.
We're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get out.
So the more that we can get people to listen, the more things we can do, you know what I mean, as a podcast.
For sure. Like more places, yeah, and gear and things that are, I feel, are more interesting than,
yeah,
just...
There's a lot of other things we can do. We just got to keep bumping up those listeners. So that's where we need your guys' help. Yeah. So,
we don't want to be on a chopping block.
No. And the last thing is that I wrote down is negative feedback. That's hard, man.
Yeah.
When you get negative feedback, because like the positive feedback, it doesn't seem to affect you that much. People are like, oh, I love the podcast. You're like, oh, thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah. And then one negative comment,
for 2 weeks, I'm like pissed off. I'm like,
do I need to change the way I look?
Everything about me is bad.
I know.
This
that
person
one
said
cut
it.
Me deep, man. Was all, I hate that annoying son of a bee talking about me. And I was like, ah, geez. And I'm like, maybe I should leave, Kobe. Maybe you should do it on your own.
No, we're both super annoying all the time. And that's the thing. It's hard for us to, I mean, we're getting better at it by taking it and just saying, I don't care. There's people that do like it.
Yeah.
So we're going to keep going, but it's very hard. It's so hard.
Everybody knows nowadays there's tons of keyboard commandos.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
It's so easy to just
YouTube, man.
Spit off a nasty comment.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not going to face any repercussion. I don't have to be face to face with this person.
You,
I can be a total.
You guys are idiots. You never survive nothing. I'd survive 1,000 times longer than you would. I'm just like, seriously? Like,
I know.
What happened in your life that you have to say that?
Cool. All right. Right on, buddy.
Yeah. Couldn't care less, though.
Yeah, there's some losers out there. Some meanies.
I don't like
them. We get bullied a lot.
We do. And sometimes for good reason, because these voices are damn annoying sometimes. Like, I understand. I really do. But, like, when I look over at Cam, I can't stop myself.
I don't know
from
what
it
is. I don't know what it is. We even tried, like, the first two episodes were like, let's curve the voices.
Nothing.
Went right back to it.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
Even when we go out to eat at the restaurant, our wives are like, oh, you guys done?
I really hate going out with you guys. This is so ridiculous.
They laugh for a while and then they're like, these two need to be separated.
They're like covering their faces a lot. Like, there's people we know in here.
I know. Oh, it's so great.
Yeah. And we love that. Yeah.
All right. So we'll move on.
Let's do it.
Next episode.
See you next time.
We'll continue with these questions for the next 6 weeks. State of Emergency Podcast, they said, what made y'all get into podcasting?
Yeah, well, thanks State of Emergency Podcast for the question. And if you want to listen to another good prepping survival podcast, go check them out.
Yeah.
They got good stuff.
I'd say it was...
I don't even...
Sugary non-alcoholic drinks at Chili's late one night in Glenwood Springs, Colorado.
That's where the birth of this came
that's
from,
where
right?
podcasting started for us.
Yeah, that's weird.
We just was like... Hey, we like to talk and hang out. Why don't we do a podcast?
Yeah, well, we
say we had like similar interests and decided let's do it.
And we didn't start out with this one, as many of you know.
No, we didn't.
We had another one before this that was horrible, but it didn't last very long. But we finally said we're gonna do one about prepping or survival or something like that, and
because we were into the whole.
Yeah. And luckily,
survival genre.
I had a lot of the equipment to already make it happen, so
Kobe was. Wasn't audio expert.
Well, not an expert in any reason, but it was easier for us to get into it because that part of it can be hard for people. Like, how do I record my voice and your voice and give it to people? Like, it's hard to know how to do that, but
and sound decent.
Yeah, and so that made it a little bit easier. And then Cam says funny, stupid crap all the time. We're like, yeah, let's just do it. Yeah. And so here we are.
And
we're doing it.
I guess.
Yeah, I guess it worked.
So, yeah, that's how.
That's how we, next one from Bill Fry. Bill Fry, the prepper guy. He says,
perfect.
Why haven't you gotten your ham licenses yet?
It's just.
And I wrote down, I'm busy, but mostly lazy.
I totally just said ditto, ditto.
It just says and right there.
I said ditto and ditto.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Two ditto marks.
Seriously, it's a goal. I really want to do it.
I do too.
But there's so many other things we got going on. Again, like this podcast takes up a lot of our free time.
Right, right.
Like we do have to do some work to make this thing go, you know. And
there's certain limitations in like a town like this.
Yeah.
You usually have to like go to that. It's like you have to go test with that guy that lives in his basement with cats and stuff. And just like,
he's got 14 ferrets.
Hold on, hold on. He's got electrical wires and like all these radios opened up on his desk.
Well, you can actually take it like at a testing center now, can't you?
Can you? I think
I'm pretty sure.
But I've been like,
yeah, I know
hesitant about where do I get the best information to test out and all
well,
that.
Well, I know that there's some really easy ways to do it. There's apps that help
we've
you
looked
do
it up.
There's books. There's a lot
just
of different things.
Doing it.
And I really want to do it, Bill. All right. Thanks
it's
for pointing
hard,
it
it's
out.
It's hard to do that simple crap. Like,
it is.
I need to get 2 credits to continue prescribing narcotics.
Do you really?
Before the end of the year.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's 2 hours of reading an article and answering questions, and I cannot do it.
It's hard.
I hate stuff like that.
Well, right now I'm also getting a license for being a commercial drone pilot. So, like, there's other things.
That stuff's so hard to just,
and,
like, sit
and
down
it takes
and do.
So much time, and I'm like, I don't have time to put more information in my brain that there's no space in there for one thing.
Yeah.
For more information about like frequencies and not, you know what I mean? Like,
weird.
How am I going to get that in my brain? But I do really want to do it, and I'm going to.
Good.
I just don't know when.
All right. Me too.
Yeah.
All right. The next question's from Matthias Thurfjell.
Sounds like a made up name,
Thurfjell.
Bro.
Thurfjell? I can't say.
I think
it right.
Your keyboard's broken.
What's your plan for bug out vehicle maintenance and repairs? You're a real dick.
That's not a real name.
I think you got an F in there when you not didn't mean to.
The T and the F and the R and the J are silent.
Must be
he's from overseas somewhere.
It's got to be Dutch or
Swedish,
Danish,
Swedish or something.
Is that Slavic?
Is it a Slavic name?
So the what's your plan for a bug out vehicle maintenance and repair?
Okay, I got to say something about this real quick because I saw he actually asked this question a while ago on Instagram or something somewhere.
I didn't see it in there. I was wondering.
Well, no, he did it again. But
he did. I didn't see it in there.
Yeah, look, Matthias. And I know we didn't answer it the first time, and then you kind of gave us some crap, and you said, are you not answering this because you don't have a plan? That's what he was saying.
Yeah,
you know,
probably
and I'm like,
true.
Look, bro, we don't have a plan for everything, and neither do you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes this kind of stuff kind of irks me just a little bit. you know, it's like, oh, you got no plan with your bug-out vehicle. Look, you know, your plan for bug out vehicle is probably much better than mine, and that's fine.
Obviously, like, that's why you're asking the question.
Yeah, like I don't care. But you know what? I'll bet you Cam's medical plan is much better than yours. And I'm not saying his health insurance. I'm saying like his SHTF.
Right, right.
So
it's true.
You know what? Let's just help everybody, and let's not have no attitudes about it. All right.
Yeah.
Anyways, move along.
Okay.
Keep going.
You want to go to the next question?
No, you can answer the question.
Oh,
absolutely.
I just I don't have this like.
It's
massive,
a good question.
Good, it is a good question.
It's a good question.
My plan is not an organized plan. I have these different supplies. I actually know, and I did this with my stupid Volkswagen Touareg because it has the most retarded.
Yeah.
Excuse me. That was a bad word.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Messed up bolts that are like weird sizes and all that. So I actually had, you know, I laid out exactly knowing which, you know, set was going to pretty much be used on all those parts on that vehicle. So I got a 1977 Ford F-150. It's very standard. Mm-hmm. American as it gets, you know, and like
easy
there's
to
no
work on.
Computer hardware or all that crap. And I have a kit that's almost specific to every, I know most of the standard bolt sizes and everything in there, what wrenches. So I had that kit for repair. And then the other thing is, it's nice having a bug out vehicle that's, you can swap and use whatever, you know, wires, bolts, and different things. I mean, to hold that thing together. So I have a kit with all, you know, extra parts, even oil. Like, it's hard for me to take it down and get rid of old used oil.
Yeah.
But I know that I'm like, if I was in a pinch and this vehicle's leaking, I can just pour back in that, you know, 3,000 mile used synthetic oil. It's going to
be just fine.
Just fine. Yeah. So. Those are some of the basic plans I have for my vehicle. As having that kit that I know specifically, I can grab these tools. I'm not going to put in my whole, you know, craftsman set that tons of nonsense stuff that I won't ever use.
Mm-hmm.
I have this little toolbox with things that are specific to my truck, and and I have it in my truck, and then I have, you know, just your basic. I think we got another question about that.
Well, and then your stuff. And then your truck too, which is really nice, is it's more EMP proof than most newer vehicles. So that's a huge plus to that bug out vehicle, you know.
But there's a ton of stuff. I mean, you got to have a spare tire, and I don't have a spare tire in mine, which is...
Oh, you don't?
No, it's been taken off the bottom, and I haven't put a new one under there. New rim. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so...
Yeah, again, great question. I didn't mean to sound like a dick there, but again, everybody doesn't have everything figured out. We are exactly in that in that category, you know. I'm working on it. I would love to get me an older vehicle like Cam does, but I have two newer vehicles, which could also be great assets. You just don't know. You know what I mean? So
I'm sure they don't get 4 miles of the gallon like mine.
Yeah, exactly. All right, cool. Let's move on. Andrew Stevenson, he says, best video games for preppers.
Oh, this is a good one.
It is a good one.
It's a good question.
Cam and I, in a previous life, were big gamers, and we still play games every once in a while. Yeah. It's fun. Many preppers will look down on it and say,
waste of time.
Well, yeah.
And you should be shooting bullets.
It is a waste of time, but it's a fun freaking waste of time. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you can get some things out of it.
It pulls up some... creative thoughts.
It really does.
Oh, yeah. Well, what happens if this happens?
Because you know what? This podcast actually came from playing these games.
It did. It really did.
That's kind of how we got here.
We were like, we love survival, everything, and games were the things that, you know, connected.
Yeah. It was our connecting thread. So there's a whole bunch that I've played and that Cam's played. I'm sure he's got a million off the top of his head. But let me tell you a few that I like. We've played DayZ quite a bit. That was a fun one.
That one's cool because it has to do with, you know, food and water, and you have to have those things with you, and you have to deal with the elements. So that's a great one.
It's buggy as hell, but it's fun.
Super buggy.
Yeah. This War of Mine, I think we've actually talked about this
before.
I love
that game.
Yeah, and this is...
every time I'm like, I got a little free time, I'm going to play, you know, and it's rough. It's really hard.
Yeah, and you can play it on iPad. I think you can get it on...
So it's the middle of the... Is it Bosnia?
The Bosnian War, yeah.
So they're, you know, in the 90s. And these guys developed it that were in and through that. Yeah. And it's like they have to go out and scavenge for wood to board up windows, and you have to get food and bullets, and you only have very limited stuff, and you're trying to be stealth about it. It's pretty dang cool.
And you're trying to keep everybody's health up and
there's
their mental health
and sickness, and you have to make your own meds. It's cool.
It's a good time. So that one's pretty fun.
Very worth playing.
Yeah. The Last of Us is one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah. That one's awesome.
If you have a PS4, if you haven't played that, then you're dumb and you should go play it right now. It's so good. The Division is really fun. It's somewhat of a survival prepper game.
It's
a post-apocalyptic type.
It's more of an agency that's prepared for this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And like, but yeah, that's a great one.
Lots of cool guns. And then the Division 2 actually comes out relatively soon. So that's something.
Yeah.
Miscreated is another sort of zombie-ish one that we've played quite a bit. Rust.
Yeah.
If you haven't played that one, that's kind of like a world survival.
I love the games where you're scavenging. I mean, I love those where you're like trying to find... all these little things to build something bigger and better and more useful.
Absolutely.
As the ones that we kind of glue on to. So the Rust is another one. It's kind of a building game. We played that for a while.
We did,
you have to find like pipes and all this other stuff to build guns and build a shelter. Dying Light's like your zombie game.
Yeah.
Fallout is one of the ones I've spent a lot of time in.
Yep.
You know, post-nuclear Fallout is what it is. And... same thing, you know, you're digging, finding different things to build better weapons and even make bombs out of pop. I mean,
pop bombs.
How great is that?
That's Nuka Cola. Yep.
So, yeah, there's a lot of games out there that actually, I think, kind of get your mind going about, like, you know.
Scenarios.
Yeah, you can just play them and have fun. But I've actually truly thought about some things like, what if and where would I, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It kind of gives you an idea of like, oh, yeah, I would hit up a police station because I need bullets here and. Oh, what was the other one that I really liked? Remember the Microsoft one? You played it. What is that? State of Decay. That was a really good one.
Yeah, it was
that
good.
That one you have to get a little group, and you go and scavenge together and send each other off to find certain supplies. It's cool.
Yeah, and Cam and I have thrown around the idea several times of doing like some live streaming of us playing some games. We've thrown around that idea, so if you're interested in that, shoot us a message. Maybe we'll get that going one day.
The last time we did it, I almost choked to death.
You did, huh? Yeah, we did a live stream of Kobe, a long time ago.
Kobe said something and I was like drinking a Coke in the back, and I was like,
starts laughing, like, and literally, like, you could hear the Coke gasping, bubbling in his lungs, and you just couldn't talk.
I almost died.
That was a good time. Yeah. So
anyway, there you go.
The next one, the preparedness guy, he asks, have you been using your Survivaguard?
I have been using my Survivaguard.
Cam has.
Kobe has a huge can, and he didn't want
to
crack it.
I need to get some bottles. So Survivaguard, if you're listening, send me some bottles so I can start actually taking this stuff. Cam has been using it because I have like the number 10 can, and I'm like, I don't want to open this and ruin the shelf life.
True.
So I've got it in my preps. But Cam has been taking it. He said it's been
good
stuff.
Taking it. Haven't you guys noticed that my slurrage of words has been a little bit better?
Yeah.
A little more sharp?
I think so.
But yeah, they, you know, I tried to take Centrum and all those, but lately they give me like really bad nausea.
Oh, really?
And so
I've heard that.
I haven't really been taking any. Yeah, I never had that problem. I don't know what, but then again, I've had all these other problems with my stomach. So
yeah,
but I started taking these and, I haven't really had that issue at all.
That's good.
The only thing is they're more natural. So
yeah,
when those capsules burst and you start burping.
It's, you know, like it's good stuff.
Dried fish wrapped in a bale of straw and some thyme. And it's just some really nasty burpees, but they go away. And I really feel like it. I mean, it's clean. I actually have always preferred the I had some. My wife used to work for like a natural pharmaceutical place up in Oregon, and I got some vitamins from there, and I thought they worked better. And this is exactly what Survivaguard's like. So
yeah, and
do it.
And again, long shelf life. That's what they're awesome for. So
yeah, everybody would overlook the vitamins.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What are the top three skills you think everyone should learn for preparedness?
I don't know who answered. Oh, that must have been the preparedness guy too. He asked two questions.
Oh, is that?
I think that's what that was.
Is this Andrew Stevenson? No. The preparedness guy. Yeah,
the preparedness guy. So this one's really hard because there's so many like skills that you could learn.
There's so many. You know, it is. It's really. Like,
how do you say what's most important? me just kind of looking at it, I thought health and fitness has got to be one that's really important. You know, health especially. Fitness, yes, obviously, please. But like health, if you're not healthy, it's going to be very hard to be prepared for a lot of things. It makes it so hard.
Yeah.
So like just keep yourself as healthy as you possibly can. I mean, don't be drinking the crap that we're drinking right now all the time. You know what I mean?
Hey.
Yeah. So I think health and fitness is one. First aid obviously is going to be really handy in any SHTF situation. And then I think it's probably between water skills of some sort and leadership, cuz when it comes down to like those types of situations where, you know, maybe it's a natural disaster or if it's a pandemic or something, you have to have somebody around that's going to take charge and like tell people what to do, because I don't know if you've ever been in those situations. People kind of freak out sometimes, like they don't know what to do. And I think kind of having that level head, a little bit of leadership quality about you is going to be a huge asset to you and your family. And then, you know, your family's not going to freak out as much. And so I think you're just going to be much safer. So that's, I'm going to say leadership is a good
one. That's a really good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think like the first aid one's really big for me because, you know, I've worked in urgent care and family medicine, and I see the dumbest crap come in. I'm just like, learn what a fever does and how it works.
Yeah.
Learn when you need to actually bring this child to medical, like a medical professional. Like, it drives me freaking insane.
Yeah.
I'm just like, take a little time and understand medicine, how it works, what the body does, your immune system, how it's going to respond to sicknesses, what to recognize. Like, focus on that.
Some people literally have no idea.
They don't. Like,
not a clue about it.
That's why antibiotics are not available to the public.
Yeah, and you know what? And it's a very simple thing to go do to research.
It really is.
It's readily available
information.
Even if
you feel like there's too much information, just print it out. Like, of your basic everyday stuff that you're going to see the most of. Sore throats, you know, cold, coughs, you know, sinus infections hardly ever need to be treated with antibiotics. When you're getting pneumonia, what supplies, you know, it's a huge thing. First aid, learn that really well.
Yeah.
And there really isn't, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to get your MD to do it or your nursing degree. Mm-mm. You just have to learn the basics.
Yeah.
It's amazing what the body can do without any help. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it'll heal itself most of the
time. You probably, in all honesty, rarely need an antibiotic in your life. I truly feel that way.
Yeah.
Like, your body's made to take some beating, to get over stuff on its own.
You might suffer just a little bit longer. And then sometimes,
that's
the
thing.
Sometimes the antibiotics are worse than the...
Yeah, no, they are.
I've been through it, man.
Blast your gut. And
yeah.
Yeah, you've been through that.
It takes months and months to come back to like normal freaking butt biome. It's disgusting.
You need some Survivagard.
I do, don't I?
So yeah, first aid and medical skills, one a big one for me. The other one is situational awareness. Yeah. Like I always think about that wherever I'm at, and you know, when I'm in a store or in a theater, what if this were to happen? You know, I think that's a skill to like get used to, just kind of get, you know, a little practice in your mind with. The other thing is, it would be health and fitness as well.
Yeah.
Like if everybody took care of themselves, and was fit, I think that we as a nation would last a lot longer.
I think so too.
Because once we lose, all those crutches, you know, medicines and everything,
it's going to be
bad. We're going to wipe out a lot of people.
Those are two things I think we still need to do full episodes on is situational awareness and like fitness and health for preppers.
I do too. Yep.
It's going to happen one day.
You get it. You stay tuned.
Yeah.
It's going to come.
Almost as an 89 says, what are your vehicle loadouts, bags, meds, and supplies? So in my vehicle, I have a 2019 Jeep Cherokee.
Mean nothing.
Yeah, no, it does need a lot. It does need a lot. It's evolving and it's always evolving. It's changing all the time with the seasons and all that kind of stuff. Right now I have my small EDC bag, which I keep
in
there.
Your Jeep's changing with all the seasons?
It is. It's a brand new thing. You don't know about it.
It adapts.
Adaptive Jeep.
I better turn on adaption to the environment.
I keep my small EDC bag in there all the time, and that has, you know, like the basic EDC gear, like, you know, fire starting, knife, all that kind of stuff, right? I have a get home bag in there, and we've talked about this several times, but my base get home bag was the Gata pack that we got, and then I've been adding stuff to it. And then I also kind of have the basic stuff in there, like a jump charger, the Gulu one that we just got, which I've used several times. That's and amazing. I can't recommend it enough.
I'm the same way.
It's been fantastic. It's been great.
I've jumped everything with it.
Yeah. It's just jumping all the time. It's amazing.
Need me start a lawnmower? Boom.
Yeah.
Need me start a car? Boom.
Sometimes I just leave the key on so I can jump at the
defibrillator.
Next morning.
Boom.
Yeah.
I haven't done that.
You know, so I have that in there. I have a tow strap. I have a basic tool kit so I can fix things if I need to. I keep warm clothing in there, obviously, especially during the winter. I've got a coat and, you know, I've got a hat and some gloves. I keep some food, and it's usually just like some normal snacks
and
stuff.
In the cracks underneath the seats of the kids.
It is. But then I also keep like some of those food ration bars, like those 5-year shelf life ones in there, as well as some water. And the water one is really kind of tough because depending on what you keep it in, it can freeze and stuff. But I haven't had any issues with those water pouches.
I haven't either.
Again, I think we had a discussion with somebody on social media how saying that those water pouches are useless. I don't know if you remember that. But anyways, they're nice because they will take those temperature fluctuations in a vehicle and you'll be okay. So I recommend those in vehicles all the time.
It's crazy where you can stash them. Like,
oh yeah,
I probably have like 10 just
all
stuffed in all these weird little cracks in my vehicle.
Yep. I have a trucker's friend in there, which is a cool little tool for
not a human.
Nope.
It's an actual.
Yeah. It's not just a friend of a trucker. It's a tool. And then I have toilet paper and I've got a little, you know, saw in there and lots of different stuff. Nothing too crazy.
Yeah, we've talked about it so many times. I really don't have anything different. Like, it's almost the exact same. As a matter of fact, I'm using your vehicle.
Yeah. We just share it.
I have a key to your vehicle.
We just share it.
I already know it's ready.
Yeah.
So this next question's Angelo.
Angelo.
Trailer park prepping.
Yeah.
He's kind of wondering, you know.
Angelo's been wondering this for years.
Yeah, that's what
he keeps coming back to us to do an entire episode on trailer park prepping. Angelo, it's not going to happen. It's not ever going to happen. But let me just give you a couple little tips to get you through, all right? Listen to our apartment prepping episode. That's going to be the most relevant to you because usually with a trailer park or a trailer, you have limited space. And so that's going to be a big key for you is utilizing that limited space that you have to the best of your ability. And, you know, another thing I said is know your neighbors, because you're kind of packed in there in a trailer park. Some of them are kind of crazy. You know, trailer park people, you don't know. I know. You just don't know.
I know.
So know them really well.
My brother
well.
Lives in one, and he always he's always sending me pictures of his neighbors.
Crazy it's people. Like,
what is going on next door right now?
Like, you're going to encounter some weird people. And then I think probably OPSEC is going to be more crucial for you because, again, you don't know who's living in that trailer park with you. You know what I mean?
It's true.
So those are just some of the things that I can tell you.
Yeah.
On trailer park repping.
I don't really have a whole
strap
lot more
your trailer to the ground just in case.
Yeah.
Keep your truck hooked up to it all the time so you can just take off.
Yep. Pull a tarp over top. Then you don't have to repair any parts.
Exactly.
So, and I'm not trying to be insensitive here, but I'm saying maybe consider your bug out options just because, you know, they're not built to withstand really intense environmental hazards.
No, they're not.
You know, hurricanes, that's just a nightmare.
If you're
earthquakes
in Florida,
and things like that. Yeah.
Not a good idea.
So hopefully you do have a good bug out plan and bug out gear and vehicles and things like that would be probably one of my biggest recommendations just because, They're not really built for real intense environments. I mean, my brother, when I go and visit him in the summer, I'm like, "Do you have your air conditioner on?" He's like, "I have it on 24/7. Never cools down.
Doesn't
in here.
Do anything." Yeah.
So yeah, it's a little harsher to live in. I mean, to withstand those things. So I mean, just consider your bug out plan is a real thorough plan B, plan C. You're gonna want a little more detail on each of those. The next question, Adam. Dot up 79. Hands up, heads up, thumbs up.
Hands down, thumbs up.
Heads down, thumbs up.
That's what it is.
Have you ever thought about having guests on the show? And I said, no, I hate guests.
No, you say hate guests. No, that's what you wrote.
I wrote that.
Yeah, well, yes, Adam, we have considered it. And we
actually had.
And we have had guests on the show. And
apparently you're not listening.
That
ain't another voice that we do.
I don't really even know what to say. logistically, it's hard to do. It's hard to bring on guests that aren't in the studio and make it sound really good. And
yeah, that's even harder.
That's hard. And then another thing is we just really suck at interviewing people. Like, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, we somehow got this. So we had this. That other podcast, and we got this really well-known developer.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, yeah. So we actually talked with the head developer
of DayZ.
Yeah. And we had an hour-long conversation with him that was the most cringeworthy thing you've ever listened
and
to
you
in
could
your
tell
life.
He was seasoned. Like, he was really good and kind of was like, I think he was like, I made a mistake.
This was a bad idea.
But our questions, and we just weren't organized well, and our questions were irrelevant. And it was funny because the listeners or some of the comments were like, terrible interviewing, but there's some interesting details on your game.
These guys had nothing good to add to this conversation.
So from then on, we were scarred, and we're like, we probably shouldn't do that again.
Yeah, and we know that there is some really good things about having guests on, that you get other people's insights. You know, you usually talk to somebody who's an expert in some sort of field or another.
Right.
You usually grow your podcast faster that way. We've just chosen to do it the way that we're doing it because this is the way we like to do it.
Yeah.
You know
it
what I mean?
It runs the smoothest. It's the most casual.
It is. Yeah.
So,
yes, Adam, we have thought about it and
we're scared of it.
Never going to happen again.
True.
Yeah. So next one, James Howe asks, if you could choose apocalyptic events, which ones would be the best case scenarios and which ones would be the most dreaded? This is a good question. I like this
one
fun
too.
Stuff. So I'd rather have one that I could see coming. For me, if I know it's coming, I think it's going to be easier than pretty much any other ones. So if you consider something like a hurricane, an apocalyptic event, that's what I'm choosing because usually you have like a week lead up to this hurricane.
Yeah.
And it's the reason why I don't understand why people are caught in hurricanes all the time.
I am kind of amazed at that.
Like you can't turn on the news without saying Hurricane Matthew's coming. It's going to kill everybody.
Yeah.
Hurricanes don't
develop right on the mainland.
Yeah, they don't. And then people are like, I just didn't know I needed to leave.
I put in all my lawn chairs. What else do I need to do?
Yeah.
Beachfront property and they stay in it. It's like, well, I don't know what to tell you.
You deserved that
one. In a way. You feel like that. You're just like, man, you kind of deserved it.
So if I could choose one, that's probably it. And then the worst for me would be a pandemic.
Yeah.
That one scares the bejesus out of me too. Because sometimes no matter how prepared you are for something like that, you're going to die.
There's nothing.
Like, it doesn't matter.
I know.
You know what I mean? And it scares me because it a lot of times it's disgusting and gross and painful.
Right.
And, like, to see, like, your family members going through something like that. Yeah. I'd rather just have a nuke dropped on my town and over with.
Me too. A slow, know? Nasty.
Yeah.
Just, like, bodies and coughing and, ugh. Yeah. I'm already gross.
People are gross.
I put the same thing as my most dreaded was pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just like.
For you especially, probably.
It's like the most real. You know, this year. So last year, flu was bad. This year is really bad here in our town especially. Like, it just overwhelmed the system
almost.
It's like
a flu incubator.
Just like, what the crap? I just feel like everything's getting worse and more difficult to treat. So that one scares me big time because, you know, I would essentially be on the front lines and die. Also, if you have kids in public schools, you know, there's really nothing to worry about. You're going to die.
You're just going to be dead.
Like, your kids immediately pick it all up.
Yep.
Parents always send their kids that are puking blood and whatever nastiness, and they're just like, go to school, call me if you're not feeling better.
You got to go to school. I got to get my hair done today. Right. Puke to the left.
I'm going to the beach with these guys.
Yeah.
So you're going to school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the way our public is, and that one is terrifying. That will spread like a wildfire because nobody knows how to take care of their cold or their sickness. They just go to Walmart, hack and spit and suck on the friggin' handle. And
they lick everything in the store.
People are disgusting. My most ideal, depending, you know, there's a lot of different takes on the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
But if it was like truly how like The Walking Dead, I'm like, I'd love it. Because they're slow, they're dumb, and all like the stores would be pretty much unoccupied. Just go in there and pick up whatever you want. Golf club, woohoo! Movies, TV, woohoo!
Yep.
I think it would be a fun one if it was not like World War Z. That would be a horrible one.
That one would be scary. No, I agree. I think it would be it probably one of the best case scenarios as long as it's not like transferable through the air or something like that. And you have to get bit.
What was it? Is it 28 days? That one was freaky because it was like droplets and everything, and they were. Like psychotic zombies. But if they're real dummies, like The Walking Dead, I still am like, you can hear them coming.
Yeah.
Like, just run.
Yeah, exactly.
Get away. Shoot
How are
the
you
head.
People dying?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
The next question, Justin Gibson. Why do you guys prep specific scenarios?
This one, it's pretty easy for me to answer. I love talking about the zombie apocalypse. I love talking about nuclear war. I love talking about that kind of stuff. But that's not what I'm prepping for specifically in any way, shape, or form because the probability is very, very low. Not to say that I don't specifically buy stuff or prep skills for those situations, but that's not like what I'm like really prepping for when I'm doing it. If you go listen to episode 61 that we did, Your Personal Apocalypse, that is exactly why I prep. Exactly. I mean, job loss, car breakdowns, and power outages. Those are the reasons I prep because
they're real.
They're real. They're going to happen to every single one of us. One of those will happen to you, no matter what. And if you're prepared for them, your life's going to be easier and there's less likely that you're going to have issues in those situations. But if you're prepping for these really well, you're also pretty prepared for a zombie apocalypse.
Totally.
Right?
Yep.
And if talking about a zombie apocalypse gets you more excited than talking about losing your job and gets you more prepping, more power to you. That's how you should do it. So,
It's exciting. The gear, the all the different tech they're coming out with, like it's awesome. I mean, to store food for 25 years, that's amazing. Like all that stuff's just so cool. So that's one big thing. I'm interested in those things and those multi-tools that you can use
gear
in all
fun.
Kinds of weird different environments and different bags. That stuff's great. But like Kobe, I don't like to be stressed out. And if I knew there was like some event, we were going to flood or, you know, there's an earthquake, I'm just like, I feel like I'm ready for it. At least gives me a week or, you know, hopefully 3 months that I'm like, I really don't have to worry about this. I don't have to go to town.
Yeah.
I don't have to deal with people.
I don't have to be one of those like, crazy people that are just like losing their crap.
Yeah, because they were foolish and they didn't prepare. Like, I'm so happy I don't have to deal with that. I'm like, let them rip themselves apart.
Yep.
And, you know, we're safe. We're good. We're okay.
Yep.
So
I like that. Very good.
The next one, Halverson and Nikki.
Yeah.
How do you feel about guys who wear socks and sandals?
I don't get it.
It happens, and
yeah,
you're going to still see it.
It's going to happen for a long time. It's probably going to happen forever. It probably so you just, will. The worst is when you see him in like the wool socks and the sandals. It's like, make up your mind, damn it. Like, are your feet cold or are they not cold? You know what I mean?
I know.
Are you going hiking or are you not going hiking?
Okay, you got cotton socks. You know, it's just easier. But yeah, the ones that are
the
like
wool socks.
Cloud line socks up to their knees. You're like,
what's going on here? Makes no sense.
Where are you going to the psych hospital?
Yeah, that one doesn't make no sense. So we'll move on from that. The next one is underscore Dan Essex.
No, it's Dane
6. Dane 6, yeah. He says, what conspiracy theory would you most like to turn out to be 100% true? And I thought about this one for a while, actually. I was like going through the conspiracy theories. I'm like, which one?
Yeah. And I didn't even think. I was totally in agreement.
I kept coming back to aliens.
Yeah.
And I guess aliens themselves aren't a conspiracy theory, but there's hundreds of conspiracy theories around aliens. Any of them I want true. I want them all true. Any of them. Seriously.
I agree. I agree.
I don't care. I want them to
want
be true.
That hideous looking big eyed alien to be true.
I want lizard people that are aliens. I want all kinds of aliens.
I know.
I want Area 51 to really have happened. Roswell, all that stuff.
Me too.
I want it to be real. So bad.
I know. That's so awesome.
I don't know what it is why I want it to be so real.
It's just so funny. And if it came out to be true, it would just be the funniest thing on Earth.
It'd
it wouldn't
awesome.
Even be.
It would be the funniest like, thing off Earth.
Yeah. Oh, it's just hilarious stuff, and all of it to be true would be so great.
It really was.
There's so many different worlds that have visited our weird world.
Yeah.
The next one I thought was really cool. Mm-hmm. Trent Southwick, describe your dream bug out location. It could be anywhere and anything. Money and geographical location to you be
screwed.
Location to you be screwed. Have fun with it.
Yeah, I just came up with a very simple answer that said Cheyenne Mountain Complex.
Yeah.
I want that to be my bug out location. If I could choose anywhere,
that would be amazing.
There's not a lot of more secure places on Earth.
Right.
Right? That you could live for a very, very long time.
But if you would, it depends on how many and who and all.
Sure, right. But
I don't want them in there.
It says have fun with it.
Yeah. No, it's fun.
Dream about it.
I know.
Cheyenne Mountain Complex.
That would be pretty amazing.
That's where I'm living.
I don't blame you. I had to go with something different because I was like, dang it, that is awesome.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've thought about these locations and everything. So first and foremost, where I live, I would go to the mountains just because it's a harsh place to live.
Yeah.
Less people are going to go there.
Sure.
Because it's a harsh place to live.
It's harsh.
And, we're in the middle, Rockies. Mm-hmm. We're in a good area. And if you get certain locations, you're up on a hill. You have perfect 360 view of anything coming towards you,
mm-hmm.
and there's animals up there to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
There's like rocks to collect.
Yeah,
wood to burn.
Sagebrush.
It's just a great place. That's really, honestly, maybe where I would go.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody will know where I'm.
I like.
But so if I had a perfect location, honestly, it would be like. So I've lived in Brazil,
mm-hmm.
and the location, if it didn't have all the mess of government and poverty and that big mess, you spit a seed, it'll grow. You don't have to do anything to it.
It's just going
to
grow.
Like, it'll rain on it.
Yeah.
You get plenty of sunshine. The temperature's real kind of, 85.
Yeah.
It doesn't spike. You don't get the freezing temperatures. It's the most neutral type of area, I think, that I would love to be in that area just because of how easy it would be to live off the environment. But those easy places, as you can see, the coasts of the United States are overpopulated because
it's nice.
That's the easiest place to live.
Exactly.
And it's the most comfortable, and that's where all the oldies go.
Yep.
So I wouldn't do it just because I know it's the most likely place that people will like kind of go to and be able to live without a lot of effort. So mm-hmm. I'm like, I'd go to the mountains because it's harder, and I'd probably die too, and...
I'm just locking my bunker door.
And it's close to us,
Yeah.
But a bunker would be perfect.
I agree. David Strauss, he asks, how much about your preps do your kids/family know? OPSEC? ? Okay, so I've got three girls. They're little, 10, 9, and like 7, right? So they're not like it, like prime prepping ages, obviously. But they pretty much are aware of everything I have. And I know a lot of people probably wouldn't, not everything, but like most stuff. Like I don't like hide stuff from them. You know what I mean? Like they don't know like every roll of toilet paper and like every knife I've got. Because a lot of people would say, you don't want to tell young kids because of OPSEC and then they're going to go tell their friends. But you know what? I've already screwed that up. I've got a podcast about prepping where I talk about everything that I do. So that's already over with. So I've kind of in my head, I'm like, well, at this point, I'm just trying to help as many people as we can prep.
Right.
Right. And so if it comes down to it and one person knows where I'm at and they come get me, well, then that was my fault. All right. I understand. But they pretty much understand everything that's going on. And we actually talk about it quite frequently. We have, you know, family nights where we'll talk about our emergency plans and we'll talk about bug out bags and we'll look at bug out bags and stuff. So I think it's better to keep them as involved as possible.
Oh, I totally agree.
But that's me.
Yeah, no, my kids are, they're all just a little younger than Kobe's. Mm-hmm. Mostly. But they, you know, they always ask because my basement's just cluttered with, mm-hmm. you know, bags and gear. And they're always, they love to play with flashlights and run them dead. It's great. I love it. And, you know, so I do try and keep them involved and let them know why we have these things and how to use them and, why they're important. But they don't listen. And so they probably still in some, if something were to happen to me, they'd still probably just starve to death because they didn't know there was food storage in the basement.
Exactly.
Even after I've told them and showed them a million times.
Yeah.
Or they'd be too picky. You know, my wife's the same way. She listens, but I don't think she really cares too much about it down there.
That's my
wife. As long as you put it up, get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Those knives are dangerous.
Yeah. My wife's kind of the same.
But I try and keep my, I mean, my family knows what I do, and I let them, you know, we try and be involved with it. My boys, once we get like into details, they're all excited about it. And, you know, they're like, yeah, let's pack up these flashlights. And they love making their own little bug out bags and stuff. So it's an easy thing to involve them in. And I don't think you're going to get in trouble with that.
No, I mean, a lot of people are very, very like OPSEC.
So little
oriented.
Timmy,
his
friend said that his dad's been prepping for
years. I know.
Years.
It's like,
let's go and
you can go too far with
first
that.
First place we're going to take over.
I'm of the mindset that help as many people come to the prepping mindset as possible.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
Instead of like, don't tell a damn soul.
Right, right.
Don't tell anybody. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right, no, I
so,
agree.
So I think it's better off. But that's me.
I mean, I'm not opposed to shrinking the population, of course.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they're going to do it themselves. I mean, people don't.
You're not going to bring everybody along, no doubt.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
But like, you know, the more that people are going to need to help each other. So it's like you want some of them to be prepared and not have to feel bad and give them some of your prep. So I feel better about letting people know they need to start prepping.
I agree. Joshua Martin asks, fave post-apocalyptic books?
I don't read, so
Cam ain't quite learned to read yet. But he's getting there.
I've gotten pretty far into One Second After, and I liked it. I just have a hard time reading. Like I just feel like I get as I said, it's the ADD thing. And my family, it's like I never get that time where there's like I can focus and concentrate on a book.
It's hard. It really is. Some of the ones that I've really liked, One Second After, obviously, that's like one of the big prepper staples. A lot of other preppers really like the Angry American Going Home ones. I actually started that book and I couldn't finish it. I know I'm going to get a lot of crap for that, but I did not like it. I thought the writing was pretty bad. But A Last Babylon is one that I really, really liked. It's kind of a post-nuclear type book, which was really good. World War Z was fantastic if you like zombie stuff. It's not anything like the movie, so go check that out. If you're looking for like just real good information on prepping, I'd say Survival Theory by Jonathan Hollerman. We've talked about him before. Very, very good. The Disaster Diaries was really good. And the one I'm just in the middle of right now, which is Raven Rock, which is fantastic.
That one I want
to especially if you like the last two previous episodes that we've done about continuation of government and civil defense. That one has some of the best information available.
Kobe would know.
I would know. Absolutely. I know everything. Yeah. And our very last question, guys, real quick from Scott Watson. He says, do you guys play Magic the Gathering?
The hell's that?
No, we don't play Magic the Gathering. Never have. But I don't know. I'm open to stuff. I don't know.
We play some stuff.
We do play games quite frequently, actually. But Magic the Gathering, never played. So, There you go, guys. That's it. That's yeah, the podcast.
There's a lot
today.
Of good questions, and you know, we'd love to add more, but you can see it takes a while to discuss them. So
and you know what?
Sorry about that.
We could do this more frequently too.
Yeah, if you guys like this and you like the discussion off from, you know, tell us.
Yeah, because this is really easy for us to prep for.
Yeah.
So if this
and I like it, I think I, it's, I like it to, you know, jog my brain and think about stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh yeah, why do I do this?
Exactly. But guys, again, thank you to Sawyer Products. We really appreciate them becoming a sponsor of the Mindless Banter episodes. Again, go to SawyerSafeTravel.com. Use our code CPREP19. You're going to get 20% off your stuff. That's a fantastic deal on already inexpensive products. So go check them out. And do you have anything else before we leave, Cameron?
I do not.
All right.
Just check it all out. Bye.
Bye.